Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses are notorious for knocking on people's doors and bugging the general public to no end. They believe that the rest of us Christians have gotten it wrong in our faithful discernment of scriptures, and that our Christian confession, captured in things like the Apostles' Creed, among other statements of faith, are misguided. They argue that God is not three in one and one in three, the Holy Trinity, but only Jehovah. Basically, their founder, Charles Taze Russell, knew enough Greek and Hebrew to come up with his own bad translation of the Bible, of course with a lot of cutting and pasting, coming to the ultimate conclusion that God is Jehovah and only Jehovah, and that his followers have to tell everyone, everywhere, about it. Now, among their off-the-wall beliefs, when their religious movement started in the 1800s, Jehovah's Witnesses discerned that the world was going to end in 1914 with Christ's return, accompanied by a whole lot of hellfire and other cheery stuff. They published their belief in the imminent apocalypse in all sorts of literature and grew a following starting in the 1870s around the belief that Christ was coming to end the world as we know it in the early 20th century. Oh, spoiler alert. The world did not end in 1914. I know that comes as a shock to you listening, more than 100 years later, but we are all still here. Christ's return was not as imminent as Russell, in his unparalleled hubris, believed it was. So when the Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on my door, I made sure to ask them about this glaring failed prophecy in their history. I challenged them on how they can argue that their religious movement still has any credibility when it grew up around such a grave misinterpretation of what God was up to in the world. Well, the two women who had the good fortune of knocking on the door of a pastor with a master's degree told me that after the world survived 1914, their leaders went back and consulted the scriptures. In their literalist fashion, they reinterpreted Matthew 28 in a new way. Now, the Gospel of Matthew ends in chapter 28 with verses 19 and 20, the Great Commission, which says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Good stuff, right? Chock full of clear reference to the Trinity, even. These verses compel us to reach out to the world around us in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so that we might share the joy and love of God with everyone we meet, proclaiming words of hope, healing, and the salvation that is promised to all who call upon the name of the Lord. Jehovah's Witnesses reinterpreted these verses, though, to the belief that Christ did not return and the world did not end in 1914 because they had not yet knocked on everyone's door. They believe that until they proclaim their JW message to everyone in the world, literally all nations, Christ will not return and the world will not be destroyed. This means by knocking on your door, not only do they interrupt your family dinners, pull you away from watching your favorite team or TV show, and generally annoying you with their presence, They are also actively trying to destroy your world and everyone you love in it by the help of God. Thanks a lot, guys. JWs, please stay home. Now, why go through the trouble? Why would Jehovah's Witnesses commit such great amounts of time and energy to knocking on people's doors and developing such a bad reputation around the world, driven by an overwhelming hope for the apocalypse? Why take such joy in the belief that the world will end in flames if only you tell enough people it will? Why delight in such destruction? There's much to Jehovah's Witnesses' belief and practice that will forever remain a mystery to me. But our scriptures for this week force us all to wrestle with the day of the Lord's arrival, the one that the JWs try to push on the rest of us all the time. Malachi says, "See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all the evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." Malachi, a name which means "my messenger" in Hebrew, had a message of divine judgment upon the world for God's chosen people. He prophesied about the day of the Lord in which all the arrogant and all evildoers will be burned up like stubble. These folks would no longer be allowed to coexist with the godly and the humble, for they will be destroyed in the righteous fires of God's wrath. Yikes. Don't want to be those guys. The purposes of judgment on the Lord's day is not the destruction of the world, but instead the preservation of the good. God does not delight in uncreating creation. The fallenness and brokenness of our world was never in the original design of the universe. These things have all entered into it through the sinfulness of humanity and its effects upon the cosmos. God is not a genocidal maniac bent on destroying anyone and everything. God is a protector of the good. In the end, the prophets and Jesus himself tell of future realities that God will bring about by ridding the world of evil once and for all. This will not be a pleasant process, but dealing with the evil that surrounds us never is. Now, the burning of evildoers may seem like a bleak prospect to some. I'm sure that predatory billionaires who have made their money by exploiting the poor and disenfranchised have much to fear at the Lord's reckoning. Abusers who belittle others with violence to make themselves feel like God will have a tough go of it when the real God comes in glory. Mass shooters like the one this past week in California, rapists and those who brag about assaulting women, scammers who prey on the elderly, drug dealers who fill our neighborhoods with poison, and those who distribute lies, vitriol, and hatred over the internet, all have much to fear when the day that Malachi prophesied about comes. The Lord will one day protect the weak and the lowly from these agents of evil, burning the chaff to preserve the wheat. When that day comes, it is not good to be the chaff. Yet Malachi prophesied about another group for whom that day will be glorious. He wrote, "But for you who revere my name, the Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings." The day of the Lord's reckoning will be one of rejoicing for those who are deemed righteous. As Christians, of course, we believe that none of us are actually righteous on our own. But God, in Jesus Christ, removes our sin through the Son who came to overcome evil with good. The same Jesus who will one day come again to dispel evil from the world once and for all. We who are riddled with sin can rejoice in the Lord's day because we are claimed among the righteous by the blood of the Lamb. We do not need to fear God's judgment on that day, for we have been covered by the grace the one who came to save the repentant, the weak, and the lowly, from the wrath that is deserved for all the arrogant and all evildoers. There will come a day when we do not need to fear evil in the world any longer. And it is for this reason that we look forward to the Lord's day. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.